Once again, we are live with another wonderful Nugs Country Wrestling podcast. This is episode number 14. Big Country, I know you're on the line. Did you ever think in a million years that we would have 14 podcasts?
Well, you know, with the combined talent of both me and you, you know, I see very many more.
And 14 podcasts. That's pretty cool. I would say if I didn't have to have that emergency dental surgery, it would have been 15. But, hey, 14 is a good number. And tonight's guest call-in quarter after the hour is Corky Franks. Now, Corky Franks is a good friend of mine. I know he's a good friend of yours, but Corky Franks has done some amazing things throughout his career in the past few years alone, has an amazing life, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a great, great interview. He just hit me up a little while ago just before the show started and said he's looking forward to calling in, so it's going to be good. Got some things going on in the world. I'm sure you do, too. And, man, I tell you, got a wrestling event coming up on the 9th of April. That's coming up on April the 9th. Orangeburg National Guard, Orangeburg, South Carolina, CWA Pro Wrestling. It's going to be a great show. Return of the Insane Lumberjack Timber. He's going to have to answer why he came out there and handcuffed me to the ring so he could help Michael Judas beat the Salem Center Six and take the title. We're friends, I'll tell you, but sometimes you got to draw that line where friendship begins is where business ends. That's about the truth in the world. But that's another story altogether. Got a lot of wrestling coming throughout the Carolinas. But tonight's rant will be pissed off and mad about it is two-faced bastards in this world. Why there's so many two-faced bastards, how other people in the world think it's okay just to put down others in the world just to make themselves look better. I've seen it firsthand time and time again, and I think it's bullshit. What happened to the old hard work building your own reputation in this world instead of putting down others to make yourself look better? I mean, I've seen it myself. I mean, funny as hell, I ain't going to name no names, but, I mean, it is the truth. Just me starting working as trying to build my own wrestling company, I've had wrestlers and managers and people in the industry that are literally putting down others, talking about, oh, I'm a better person, I'm a better wrestler than he is, forget him, book me. I'm a better manager than he is, forget him, book me. That's the funniest thing is I'm a manager and these people don't even know who they're dealing with. They just know they're dealing with somebody that's over the company, that's working in some kind of capacity at the website. They don't know if I'm the owner of the company or if I'm just some jabroni that they got working their social media. Either way, it's not professional. It's definitely not the way to try to get yourself booked. I mean, if you want to impress me, send me a video of your work. Show me a promo of your work where you're good cutting a promo. Let me see you wrestling in the ring. Let me see you pop a crowd. Let me see how you could draw some money, how you could bring some value to my company. That's how it should be in this world. Hard work and dedication. I mean, what do you think about this, Big Country?
Well, I think, you know, nowadays with, you know, the excessive use of welfare and stuff like that, people just want stuff for free, man. They don't want to have to work for anything. You know, I mean, I see people walk around. I mean, it's kind of on the same storyline, but, you know, I see people walk around with iPhone 6s and the new Samsung 7s, and yet they're pulling out their EBT card or their food stamp card and paying for all the groceries and everything, walking out and getting in a, you know, brand new car while I'm sitting here, you know, busting my ass and, you know, barely scraping by. It's like people see how easy it is to get stuff for free and to not have to work for it. So it's like, that transcends over into the wrestling world. They feel that, you know, oh, because I can, you know, cut flips and do all this other bullshit that you just should automatically want to book me because, you know, oh, I'm I've wrestled so-and-so and I've wrestled so-and-so. You know, people that talk about, oh, I've wrestled this guy and I've wrestled this guy. The fact of the matter is, you know, there wouldn't, without the promoters paying these guys to come in and work you, you know, it's not because these people are requesting to work you. Matt Hardy didn't request to work me. Barbarian didn't request to work me. Somebody paid for them to come in and work me. So it's like, you know, nobody wants to, everybody wants the outcome, but nobody wants to work for it.
Right, right. They want to put. They don't want to put in the effort, but they want. They want everything handed to them. Time and time
yeah,
again,
I mean,
it's that way.
It's like that old saying, you know, when somebody's, you know, patting you on the back, all they are softening up the spot where they're going to stick a knife.
Wow, that's a great metaphor. You ain't lying. It is the truth. I mean, I understand that hating on others just to try to make yourself look better. And it's in reality, you look like a miserable bastard filled with hatred and jealousy for others. You think, well, I mean, at the end of the day, do you think people that are really making in this world that are huge and successful in anything in this world, do you think that they care about what others think about them at the end of the day? They don't. Do you think Donald Trump, I mean, even if you don't like Donald Trump, do you think he has never, a man that has never been in politics would be a forerunner in the Republican Party because he give a fuck what other people thought about him? No. He said the world is miserable. And he goes, the government needs to be run as a business. This is what I think I can do to make a change. And people are listening to him and they're believing him. Why? Because he's telling the truth. He's talking from the heart. That's why he can go out there when someone tries to throw a whammy at him with the news media. He doesn't have to worry about what kind of screwball they're going to throw at him, because he's talking from the heart. So when you're talking from the heart, it's not hard to deal with the truth when you tell the truth. I mean, if someone told me, hey, how are you going to change things? I'm going to do this. That's simple. I mean, that's not
isn't
anything. That's just going on any kind of rant about politics. I'm just talking about in life.
Not everybody's going to agree with everybody's opinions. Donald Trump, you know, says, I think the reason why people hate him the most is because his stuff makes sense, even though, you know, he goes in a shock value way of putting it. You know, he doesn't want people to mooch off the government anymore. He wants to make sure that, you know, hey, if you're going to be getting this welfare check, I think that, you know, once a month you should be taking a drug test. Yeah, I agree with that completely. If you're, you know, if you legitimately can't work because you have a disability, you have, you know, something that's keeping you from being able to, you know, get up every morning, you know, walk out that door and go be a productive member of society and have a job, then I understand. Maybe a little help for you. But when you got these people that are, I mean, obviously are just refusing because they know how to milk the system. And this guy is trying to change, you know, of course, you know, with any politics, 90% of what they say they're going to do when they get in office doesn't actually happen, you know. Whether Trump's the 10% is different or not, you know, I think he scares people, because when he comes out and says, I want to make sure that if you are getting government assistance, it's for a damn good reason and not just because you don't want to get off your lazy ass and, you know, go get a job. And, you know,
right.
For those that have been able to work and milk the system for so long, you know, that scares them. It's like, oh, shit, I got to get a job. And for those people, you know, It's such bullshit that we go overseas. Oh, we need to help these people. We need to help these people. How about we start helping the United States before we do anything? You know, with our homeless vets. You know, vets that go over there and risk their lives to defend this country are sleeping on the streets, underneath cardboard boxes, not able to, you know, have a shower for God knows how long or a decent meal. How about we take care of our problems before we go, you know. Most of the stuff that we're having to take care of is shit that we've destroyed anyways. You know, I think we're the only country that blows up cities and then pays to have them rebuilt. You know, I don't know about you,
yeah.
But I think that's a little bit of bullshit. I think we maybe need to mind our own business a little bit, start taking care of the homeland before we go over there and it's different for the countries that can't help it. Like, you know, especially with the churches where they do their missions to go over there and help the kids that, you know, don't have anything. But, you know, it's like we go over there and, hey, we're going to blow this up. But don't worry about it. We're going to fix it later. But yet our guys that went over there and helped them do that and helped them build it up are coming back over here and don't have a house to go home to, or a job to go home to, or a nice meal, and they're sleeping on the streets. I think that's just, you know, hypocritical bullshit.
I agree 100%. You know, it's crazy. But the bottom line is, I mean, let's understand, I mean, I've had it myself, you know, where I've been in locker rooms with somebody and they're trying to get a booking at a company I work for. And they'll say, Joey Nugs, if you can help me out, man, I'd be ever so grateful. I'd work so hard. I'll tell you, I would just work my butt off for you, you know, to make you look so good. And they get in there and they stab you in the back. They politic their way to the top instead of working hard. They're not happy with the mid-card status that they were handed. They want to fucking stab you in the back. They want to be all over the show. They got an idea what they should do. It's all over the place.
Voice that is. I know whose voice that is, but I'm not going to tell.
It's crazy the way things are out here. I mean, I don't understand it.
Indie wrestling is like, you know, a locker room is kind of like a group of girls, man. I'm telling you, it's like they're shaking your hand with one hand and stabbing you in the back with the other. It's like, you know, that's why I have a very close-knit group of friends that I know, you know, I can trust, you know, and it's like everybody else. I mean, I have it myself, you know. If I'm booked on a show and somebody else is booked, they're going to be like, well, why is that fat piece of shit booked on the show? He can't really do nothing. I can sit here and do a 450 slash and a shooting star press. You know,
that's,
and it's like, then when I see them,
bastards.
They're like, oh, dude. Yeah, well, but then when you talk to them face to face, they're like, oh, man, hey, man, what's up, man? Long time no see. Miss you, man. Love you, man. Full of shit. You know?
Yeah, be excellent. Two-faced bastards.
I hate two-faced people because I don't know which face to slap first, you know?
Right, and the worst thing is, half the time, these people that are two-faced, you'd think one of the faces would look good. Both of them usually ugly as shit. Walking around looking like rats and shit, pointed ass nose, big nose.
You know, you would think
there
wasn't enough wrestling companies to go around. You know, I mean, in the Carolinas alone, there's hundreds of independent wrestling companies.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to tell you how crazy this is. We're being cutthroat over a booking that's not, on the most part, unless you're one of the high end, you're not going to make more than $50-$60 anyway. So you're stabbing someone in the back over between $20 to $40.
Well,
just
I don't
so
think
you can say that you were on that show.
I don't
what
think it has to do with
it
the money.
I mean,
they want
is it
dude,
that
these,
they want it, the number one spot?
No, because they want to be out there. There's, you know, it's like being attention whores, just like. You know, and like I said, when it falls back to, you know, just like a woman, you see them all the time. You know, anytime a discussion starts, they talk kind of direct the content of the discussion back to them. It's a lot of times it has nothing to do with money, because I've seen guys with awesome talent shoot down a good paying booking because this guy over here is going to put a belt on him, or this guy over here is going to put him up against somebody, you know, that's semi famous, or this guy over here is going to put him up against a big name. But he's not going to pay him. So he'll shit on a booking, a paid booking, you know, to work, you know, somebody who they think is beneath them to come over here and not get paid, but think that they're becoming more of a star because, oh, this guy's going to put a title on me, or this guy's going to promise me TV time, or, you know, promises me a favor in the future. That's what a lot of that has to stem from, is, you know, them wanting attention. You know, you fluff them up, be like, oh, yeah, you're awesome, dude, you're awesome. They don't want to come over here and hear, well, dude, you need to work on this, or, you know, I'm going to stick you with this guy because I think he'd help you out. They don't want to hear that bullshit. Everybody wants to be famous, but nobody wants to put in the work to do it.
Nope. It's easier to stab someone in the back or try to step on someone else's hard work. Here's an idea. If you're the curtain yanker, make that match the number one match of the show, because let's be honest, that's supposed to be the barn burner anyway. That's supposed to be a fast paced match that sets the pace for the night. You know, I mean, if you're going out there, even if you're putting the baby face over as the open spot, make your freaking match the one that freaking shines. That way, next week, guess what? The promoter will say, hey, man, you popped the hell out of that crowd. I'm going to move you up the mid-card. Guess what? The mid-card guy, you know what he should do? He should try to go out there and have the match of the night. Because if he goes out there and tries to have the match of the night and blow the roof off the building, and he's going to build a storyline and create the heat, that's going to sell tickets. Next month, promoters are going to be like, man, Your angle is hotter than the angle that's the main event. I may have to boost you up on the card to semi-main. Who knows? A couple months down the road, you might be main event. But what happened to go out and actually work hard instead of stabbing someone in the back, being a two-faced bastard to try to get your position? It's crazy. I mean, over on the indie leagues, we're somewhere between a $20 and $100 booking. So you're going to stab someone in the back just so you could get a booking for $40. And it is at the end of the day. It ain't about money. I know that. But is the booking that important that you're going to stab someone in the back to get it? I mean, come on. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we got Corky Franks on the line. Corky Franks, are you here with me, brother?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
We are doing great. I got Big Country on the line, too. Say what up, Big Country.
What's
what
up,
Big
Corky,
Country?
Man?
You got to say it like I
hey,
said
man.
It, Big Country. Big Country.
Hey, look, man. Hey.
Come on,
Big
Country. Say it like I said it. Big Country.
Hey, Corky, I just got done watching you remember the Matt Hardy, Kevin Steen thing they did at the Ring of Honor? Kevin Steen thing they did. And halfway through their little promo, all of a sudden you hear in the background, you can hear your voice saying, Big Country.
Oh, yeah, man. That was it was after the Ring of Honor show at Cabarrus Arena, what, about 2 years ago maybe?
The
convention center.
It was out there. Yeah, it was at the convention center and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was the merchandise. What is the merchandise mark?
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. But they were doing some promo work for the match they were going to have at PWX coming up.
Yeah, with Matt Hardy and Kevin Steen.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were doing some promo work and Big Country came by. I said, Big Country!
Yeah, I was all up in there. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I had a cameo there, too. We were walking out the door. I was next to you. I was like, yeah, I got a little
that's
time
right.
on the camera. Not bad. I mean, my fedora looked great on camera from the back.
As a matter of fact, Nugs, I believe you're the first person I got into a Ring of Honor show for free.
Yeah, you got me and Big Country in for free that night.
Definitely.
And we all almost got fired from another company, right, for showing up.
No, I went to another company that night because of that because of showing up.
No, we almost got into a fight because somebody decided to get on Facebook and run their mouth, not expecting that we were going to call them out on it.
Manny Mac, fucking crack-headed ass. Fucking bastard.
Actually, the first one was Eric, remember? Because Eric is the one up on there.
It was Eric.
Oh,
Adams.
You can't come train, but you can go to a Ring of Honor show. And then he tried to say he was talking about some other people once Joey Nose got on there. I was like, really? Say it to my face.
The
you don't have money
days,
to
right?
go to training, but you got money to go to a Ring of Honor show. I said, first off, what the fuck is your concern? Where the fuck I went? I don't think you paid for the fucking ticket, you cheap son of a bitch. And two, why don't you worry about yourself before you worry about somebody else, you cheap son of a bitch? And anyway, when I went to Manny Mac, I was like, why don't you check this son of a bitch? He's making you and your company look bad. Oh, yeah, I'll handle it, you know, Joey Nugs. And he goes on a fucking walk 30 seconds later talking about drama. I get up, I haven't had my cornflakes yet. He goes, I already got drama, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm just drama. Let me handle it this way. But how?
You know, man, the most fun I've ever had announcing, I think I've told you this before, Nugs. The most fun I ever had, it was a Saturday show. It was at the Mooresville, I'm pretty sure it was the Mooresville National Guard Armory. It was a Saturday afternoon. We thought nobody was going to come. And Country, you were there. And
that was when we had that tournament.
Yeah, man, was that not fun or what?
Well, it was fun, except for wrestling four times that night.
That was the most fun I ever had at a show, man, ever.
Oh, yeah. I got to beat Manny's ass in front of his mom. That was crazy.
I remember that.
Hey, but you know what, man? We really had some good times there. At least I did.
Dude, I think the best times was over there at the venue, man. I mean, I think was like the
– It was fun.
It was no egos. Everybody just having fun.
That's where Nugs made his debut. I remember Craig Veltri was on doing commentary. He said, who is this guy? Oh, it's the manager of champions. It's Joey Nugs. I turned around and said, who is Joey Nugs? And then it was funny.
Not everybody had my reputation.
Hey, he had everybody that was in that building thinking that wrestling was real that night, buddy.
Oh, my God, yeah. I remember that. I came out from the crowd. I remember that.
That's Yeah, that's right. That's when you started managing Sephiroth.
Well, yeah, no, he asked me, he goes, do you want to just come in and manage someone? I was like, no. I said, I think I should sit in the crowd, I said, first. I said, and act like I'm watching the matches. And he's like, no, well, that's a great idea. I'm thinking, well, I was just joking. What the fuck is he talking about?
I
was at the Lakers game, and I was hanging out with Spike Lee and Jack Nicholson or something. Like I was a celebrity at the WXXX Clank Clank Spring Wrestling. What was it again? XWW.
Yeah.
XWW. Where I got my start. XWW, courtesy of B Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what. I mean, I first met Corky. I was just coming down here because Sweet Dreams is like, hey, man, you know, I got this guy that's running, you know, Charlotte and stuff like that. He's like, you know, you should come down and check him out. And, you know, of course, the natural rule of the indies is don't ever show up at a show without your gear. And I stepped out of the car, and I think the first person I met was you, Corky, and I shook your hand and, you know, and introduced myself, and I asked you who Manny Mac was, and you said, he's the little guy over there. But then I thought you were talking about Smalls. So I went up to Smalls, and I was like, are you Manny Mac? And he's like, no, Manny Mac's the other guy. And, you know,
he's the other
Manny was
guy.
Like, what? Yeah. Manny was like, wow, you're big. All right, you got your gear with you, right? And I was like, yeah, luckily I did. But I tell you what, you know,
hey,
just to let you know, Corky, you know, I hate the fact that, you know, you left because it wasn't the same afterwards. It just
well,
wasn't.
Well, I really didn't have – I never wanted to leave.
Oh, no,
and,
I know. Believe me. And he almost lost me because of that because they went as you, Craig, and Tommy. And it was like, you know, there was
you know
so
what,
much
man,
talent between the three of y'all.
All I was trying to do was, and Nugs knows this. All we were trying to do was get. We were just trying to get better, man. That's all. I mean, we weren't trying to steal talent. We weren't trying. We were just trying to get better. We were looking for more opportunities. It was never about making more money. It was about more opportunities to get better, to figure out if this works here, if it don't work here. I thought it would make PWX better when I tried to get those guys on. And
everybody knew Manny had the Napoleon complex. You know, he thought everybody was against him. Everybody wanted to take over his stuff. You know, I figured maybe working with George South, he would have realized that that's the biggest goal in this business is to get better. And you can't just get better by staying in the same place. You have to experience everything. You have to go to all these places. You have to learn from different people. And, you know, the bad part about it was is there was somebody that was in his ear, and all of us know who it was. And the bad part about it was is that dude that was in his ear was trying to do the same exact thing that y'all were doing. Well, he wasn't trying to get better. He was trying to get in, but he couldn't.
He was
so
trying
he
to
decided,
get in and get a payday. That's all he was trying to do, get a payday.
Exactly.
He told
and
the guy
he
told him what he wanted to hear, yeah.
Yeah, since he couldn't, he decided to do the second best thing for himself, and that was – to get in Manny's ear and make him believe that you guys were trying to do a hostile takeover and take everybody away and destroy Manny's company. And for some stupid reason, he believed it. And, you know, one of the worst things and probably one of the biggest downfalls of XWW was, you know, when he pushed all three of you out. And that I mean, that was just, it sucked. Because, like I said, it was
stupid.
Never the same.
He made a lot of stupid decisions. His biggest thing was he was a mark for the business, which we all are because if we didn't, we wouldn't work in the business. But he never thought in his mind said, this is a business. If what I'm doing is it going to try to make money? Where am I taking this? He never had any kind of vision to see that. And anyone that tried to help him get the vision, he thought was against him. It was ridiculous.
Man, I had a lot of fun. I mean, I really did. I met you guys. I remember it was Big Country, Hard Knocks, Craig Huffman. Mm-hmm. We just had a blast, man. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I
met a
lot of good
people
there.
It was right there at the end. It was horrible. It was just ridiculous because everything that everybody was getting accused of, none of it was true.
Oh, exactly. No. But not just that, but it was like, I mean, you remember our highest drawing show was Tremont Music Hall, the first show. 400 people,
yeah.
No names.
With
no
names.
Names. That's the biggest thing.
Joey Nuts on the flyer.
Exactly.
Took me out the flyer. Like, his stuff went in the toilet.
I don't care what anybody says. It was Pro Wrestling Evo was running out of Cabarrus Arena. PWX was running wherever they could get in. And XWW. And XWW had a bigger buzz than any of the three companies. And the other two companies were doing extraordinary things, bringing names in, top names on the indie circuit. And XWW, man, we were the little engine that could, a bunch of guys that wanted to prove everybody wrong. And that's why it worked, man. It was a lot. I mean, I've said it 15 times already, but I've never had so much fun.
Oh, it was
what
fun.
Was the biggest crowd they had was the night that we had at Tremont. They had like, what, 400?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we outdrew that ever.
No, it went downhill after that. Boom, boom, boom. It was steady decline.
You know, it's not about the money in this business, but, you know, when you know that somebody's booked, I mean, you know, everybody knows Manny went crazy sometimes, four or five names on the show. And even if we packed out the place, there was no way that we could meet payroll.
He was stupid. He had no knowledge of knowing that one name will draw just as big as five people, because if they're going to show up, they're going to show up for the one name. So why have the other four people? He did the J.D. Costello booking. J.D. Costello was even worse than that. J.D. Costello would book Lodi in, and then he brought in Raven to do a guest promo. Oh, my God, Raven's here. But here's the deal. The people that were in the building had already bought the ticket. You're not drawing no more name off of Raven's name right now. You could have advertised it, threw some kind of promo up, and drew money off his name for next show. He didn't come back the next show. Oh, he did come back the next show, but you didn't get no more bigger pop off it. So you paid him twice. I mean, that was just bad booking. That's mark booking. Booking of a mark instead of a business man.
You know, say what we will about XWW or Manny or whatever. I really believe, and I may be wrong, I believe if we did a reunion show or whatever, or however you want to sell it, and had some of the original guys back, I guarantee you we could draw several hundred people to come to that show. I think people would come back and see it.
Most definitely, but Manny won't go for it.
Smalls has tried
Sephiroth as, you know, he just won't go for it.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. Good memories. Good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shit all over it, because some of my best shoot material was on XWW. I remember it quite distinctively. People sat around waiting to see what Joey Nuts was going to say next. So I kept my teeth quite sharpened between wrestling events because of him.
Well, you know, I'll give it to Manny, too. You know, if it wasn't for Manny.
You remember this one. I will get off the subject of beating up on Manny Mac and XWW. Do you remember the line that I used that got me kicked off of Facebook for 2 weeks? I said, XWW is so backyard, they have to mow the ring before each and every event. That got me kicked off. He couldn't take that one. He took all the rest of the insults on the side.
Well, you know, I got to give it to him. If it wasn't for Manny, I wouldn't have met, you know, I wouldn't have met Corky, definitely. I wouldn't have improved with my promos. I wouldn't have got to, you know, have the pleasure of working guys like, you know, Barbarian and Hamrick and Hardy and all them. So, you know, there was pluses to it. And, you know, the friendships that I got and the memories that I have, you know, I cherish them. You know, the bad there at the end outweighed the good, but, you know, overall, you know, there was still some good came out of it.
Hey, you know, so here's proof that XWW was a good time. We've been talking for, what, 15, 20 minutes, and all we've done is laugh for 15 to 20 minutes.
Every time we always do that on somebody else, yeah.
You know, they always say, you're just going to look back on this and laugh, which you usually most of the times you do, you know.
Hey, speaking of Costello and NWA, I was going to say this about Nugs. Nugs is one of the guys that I realized that whenever somebody told me what he was making to manage And I was like,
what was that?
Making that? Somebody told me at a show, at an XWW show, what you were getting paid to manage. And I was like, you can make, I was like, somebody will seriously pay you that much money to work? I had no idea. I didn't know what you got paid in wrestling. I didn't know. And then
I got paid. That's not what they got paid.
So Nugs smartened me up about you could actually get paid in wrestling besides a hot dog and a empty promise for something next time. So Nugs smartened me up that you really can get paid every time, every show. And then a guy like Eddie Rich, who everybody hired, who's probably still the best announcer that's ever been around here, me included and everybody else, is I heard him talk one time, and he said that he started charging $100 to ring announce. And I was like, there's no way somebody will pay you $100 to ring announce. Because we all three know that, you know, payouts on the independent scene aren't much at all, if they're anything. And but you know what, man? I've got guys like him to thank for going out and, you know, having the courage to ask, or the boldness to ask for $100. Maybe he didn't ask. Maybe he told him he was going to get paid $100.
He was professional. He was more than just a suit. He had the suit. He looked professional. But when it came down to it, he had the big voice. He was professional, and he made your product credible. And it wasn't about him. He had good mind for the business. I seen him before when he'd be doing announcing, and a heel would run in the ring and start something. He had enough sense to get out of the ring. Oh my God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting out of harm's way. Where other people would just go to the corner and lean against the corner, like, all right, what do you think? Why the hell are you in the ring? I came in and grabbed the microphone out of your hand. Get the hell out of my ring. I mean,
yeah, Charlie Haas ran me out of the ring. He taught me a lesson real quick.
Right, you should get tossed out of the ring. Get the hell out of the ring. What are you in here? Are you going to fight? Get out of the ring.
Exactly.
Charlie Haas is
psycho.
So
that's what I did. I got out of the ring.
Yeah, people have a basic understanding if they figure out this. The ring is our stage. So when it's my turn to be out on the stage, it's your turn to get the hell off my stage and let me be the star for the moment and put over the angle. If you're not a part of putting over the angle, and get the hell off the stage.
Man, I have learned a lot of lessons working in the wrestling business. A lot.
Yeah.
And most of them turn out to be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's of course, you know, in the indies, you know, they always say if you're in the independent wrestling scene to make money, you're an idiot. But one last quote, and it's the last time I'm going to say Manny's name or anything about XWW. He actually made a comment towards his music stuff, which actually rang true for a lot of us guys that work for XWW. He said, all these artists want quality work, but don't want to have to pay for it. And it kind of streams over to, you wanted us to do quality wrestling and put our bodies on the line, but you didn't want to have to pay for it. See what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, he was. He had the same mentality of a lot of promoters. They would rather spend a lot of money to put themselves over, or than to admit defeat, or to admit that they're doing it wrong. They would rather continue to just throw money down and hope that it was going to heal itself. It didn't heal itself because the first thing is you have to build up your core people. If you bring a name in, that name should want to have to put over your wrestler that's going to build your product up and give your product more credibility. Say, for instance, you were the heavyweight champion. I bring in a name to wrestle the heavyweight champion. If he's not going to, one, put you over and let you win and help build up your credibility, or at least go to a draw or something that made you look like you had a chance beating him, then what's the purpose of bringing him in? Just to say you had a name on the card? Fuck that.
Bingo.
The name ain't going to work for you when he's there. Forget about him. Tell him to stay at the house.
All
yeah,
right.
He's not going to work for $10, that's for sure.
No. No.
Exactly.
Let's get actual interview if you got time here, Corky. How did you get into pro wrestling? I mean, what was your end?
Well, man, I have I don't even know if you guys know this. I have a degree in radio, TV, broadcasting 20 years ago that I never used. And I got into the – I started working construction. And I've always been a wrestling fan. I used to go watch NWA wrestling Saturday mornings with my grandpa up at his house. And, you know, then we would watch it on the Superstation Saturday night. We would watch wrestling there. So I've always been a wrestling fan. And I was on a job one day doing construction, and I ran into a guy. His name's Buddy Gardner, and we called him B-Money, and he was talking about wrestling. So we started talking about wrestling. He said, "I wrestle." And I was like, "Who do you wrestle for?" And honest to goodness, I had no idea independent wrestling even existed. I had no clue. So he mentions the company we've been talking about, XWW, and I says, "Where are you from?" He says, "Hollywood, California. What's your weight?" Yada, yada, yada. So I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the ring, Wayne, whatever, from Hollywood, California, B Money." And he loved it, and he said, "Man, you should come announce for us." So I went to the Albemarle Road Recreation Center, and there was maybe 50 people there, and I was scared to death. Everybody thought I was the man, and I was scared to death to go out there. And I was in the bathroom doing guys' introduction in the bathroom, practicing their introduction in the bathroom. And finally I went out and did the main event, and that was in 2009, and that is the only show I did up until like 4 years ago when he started back up. So I did one show. I did one show, was out for what, 4 years or something like that? And 3 years, and then he started back up. And been doing it for, I guess, 4 years now. But that's how I got into it.
Wow.
The main event was, I know one guy was Luke Monsinger, because I remember saying Luke the Stinger Monsinger. And Jason Quick was his champion. He was a school teacher in Weddington or somewhere. But that was the main event. I loved it, man. I was hooked. I came home and told my wife. I said, "I think I'm going to try this and see how far I can take it."
And I'm gonna tell you something, Porky. Not to toot your own horn. You were somebody that believed in yourself so much that you went out and invested in yourself. Corky is the type people don't know of. If you don't know Corky Franks, Corky would show up and not only look like $1 million. Corky have his own PA system. Corky have his own setup and help you set up an entranceway, have a curtain, set up the whole nine, and load everything else. You book Corky not only for as an announcer, you get his PA system, you get his mix board, you get everything that goes along with it, and it makes you look like $1 million. That's a package. You know how to promote and book yourself. Other people just show up with a freaking two-piece suit with a freaking bad-looking tie and don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, I found out really early just by watching the guys and you know, on the air conditioning business. So I had to learn how to hustle and promote and market and advertise and make myself valuable in my construction business. So I was watching guys in the wrestling business, and everybody would go on Facebook and they would call themselves a professional wrestler and like my page and stuff like this. But professional was the furthest thing from what they were.
Right.
And that's still true to this very day. This very day, it's the same thing. And you would, I mean, you guys know you're in the business. Some of the names that you think professional are so far from being professional.
Oh, yeah.
But I figured out, I was like, the first thing I did was Manny's sound system sucked. And no fault of his own by any. I mean, it was adequate. It was great for what we were doing, little small venue. So I shouldn't have said it sucked. It was what it was. It worked great for what we did. But I wanted to sound better, so I knew if I was going to sound better, then I would have to invest in me. So that's what I did. I went out and I bought a wireless mic from Radio Shack because I had no idea what to buy. I think it was 40-something bucks. We showed up. We did a show. It was popping and clicking. It was
right
out.
Bad choice.
You guys remember? And it would cut out during promos, and the batteries would go dead. We didn't know, man. We didn't know what we were doing. And so then I was like, man, I've got to do something else. So I went to Sam Ash. I bought some stuff off of Craigslist, and it worked great. And that's what I started doing. I knew that if I had a nice sound system, Then I bought an entryway for Manny to use, and I bought some lights and stuff. But I've made my – I was telling Michael at Hotspots today, I made my money back 10 times on that stuff that first summer because everybody started booking me. I bet I worked for 20 different promotions that first summer because everybody booked me because you could get the announcer, the sound system, the lights, the curtain, everything. So that's what I did. I invested in me, and it worked.
Yeah, that was intelligent. That was smart. You went beyond the call of duty to make yourself be not just to say you were professional, but – become professional. You were professional. That made the difference.
If you
parlayed that on to other wrestling events that were better than XWW, not shitting on them no more because I've done enough of that. But I'm talking about you went on to PWX, then you went on to Ring of Honor. I remember that.
Well, I had just went to Nicaragua doing mission work with a bunch of redneck buddies of mine. And I just went over there. So when I came back, everybody was on Facebook. I was like, I'm not doing Facebook. That's stupid, whatever. But they could get Facebook in the middle of the jungle in Nicaragua. So I started a Facebook page so I could keep up with those guys in Nicaragua because it's not like you can go every week. And so that's how I could communicate with them. So then I found out that you could, you know, find all these different wrestling promotions. So I saw where a company was going to have Jerry the King Lawler in York, South Carolina. It was PWX. And I was like, man, if I can get on that show and Jerry the King Lawler can hear me one time, he'll tell somebody and get me a tryout. And that was my mentality.
Okay.
You know, you've heard me say a million times, if you don't believe in yourself, why should you expect anybody else to? So I contacted PWX. They couldn't use me, said they had some great ring announcer. And I said, hey, if you guys can ever use me, I'm always available. Let me know, you know, whatever I can do to help out. I reached out to Patrick with Pro Wrestling Evo, and he said he was booked up, yada, yada, yada. Well, his guy canceled one day. Long story short, I'll make it quick. His guy had a wedding or something to go to. He couldn't come. He had... It's not it was Dragon Gate then. They called themselves Dragon Gate then, right? Like 3 or 4 years ago. Dragon Gate / Evolve. It was kind of before they separated or whatever. They were doing a show at Cabarrus Arena, and Patrick, the booker for Evo, owner of Evo, he hit me up and said, hey, if you want to come out and do the pre-show, we'll be glad to have you. I go out, do the pre-show at Cabarrus Arena. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pro Wrestling Evo pre-show or whatever. Get in the ring, do the first match introductions. I sit down. There's Tyshawn Williams, who owned PWX. He said, where in the blank have you been? And I was like, nowhere really. I just got started. He said, you're my new ring announcer. So I got hooked up with Ty. Ty got me hooked up with Ring of Honor. And it's just been going like that, man. I mean, but it all starts. You have to believe in yourself. You have to invest in yourself. Don't expect anybody to do anything for you. They're not going to. And all you have to do is what's right. Look out for people. Shoot people straight. Don't try to hustle people. Don't be two-faced like you guys were talking about earlier. And just do people right. And when you go to sleep at night, you can sleep good. You don't have any problems. And generally, 9 out of 10 times, they'll pay you back or look out for you and get you an opportunity. And even if they don't, you still did what was right at the end of the day. So I never got hurt, and that's been my philosophy the whole time for 4 years. And so far, so good.
Yeah, definitely so far, so great, if you ask me. It's beyond good. I mean, I've seen you go from a small indie show with 15, 20 people to working for PWX, working for Ring of Honor with those huge crowds. And then you went out on the road with Ring of Honor. I remember you telling me how many times you went out and you were flying to different cities and doing stuff. And then you went that was experience by itself, I'm sure.
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. I mean, those guys were great. Everybody took me in. I mean, from day one, they took me in. It probably helped that I showed up as the ring announcer, but also worked the ring crew and helped set up the ring and tear down and everything else like you still should do.
Right.
You know, if you forget where you come from, then you won't have a home and you need to go back there. So that's the way I look at it.
Right.
But, you know, I worked hard. Those guys took me in. I worked for them in the Carolinas several places, Atlanta, San Antonio, Hopkins, Minnesota. I did the Super Card of Honor last year, San Jose, California. It's just tremendous, man. Made my national TV debut with Ring of Honor last year. I would have never thought it. But they've been really good to me.
Because you believe in yourself. That's great. And then you parlayed that. You got a job with Monster Jam, correct?
I just came off the road with Monster. No, Monster Trucks are at the fair. Monster Jam is as big as it gets. Trust me, they told me that 1,500 times.
Okay, well, I don't mean to offend anybody, but to it's Monster Trucks is what it is. So.
They'll tell you really quick. A Monster Truck is at the fair. Monster Jam is as big as it gets. But anyway, yeah, I just came off the road with Monster Jam. I was gone, I believe, 8 of the first 10 weeks of the year. And, man, what a blast. I mean, you guys know where
Tell us about Monster Jam. What is it like? I mean, what's the experience like? From the gate, you walk in the building. What's it like?
It's, first of all, Monster Jam is owned by Feld Entertainment, which is the world's largest traveling entity. They own Monster Jam, Supercross, Disney on Ice, Marvel Universe, Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, AmSoil Arena Cross, you name it, man. They own everything. 10 times bigger than WWE, probably, I'm guessing. It's huge. World's largest entity. And
wow.
So their first class, as you can imagine, I mean, I get from the time I leave my house, from the time my vehicle starts and I head to the airport, I'm on the clock. They really take care of you. It's professional first class, you know, airfare is paid for, accommodations is paid for, per diem, food, yada, 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 catered food. They treat you like a king. You show up, you have production meetings on the first day of the show. You have production meetings. You have you meet with the public relations people, lady, gentleman, whoever it may be for the weekend. You meet with the merchandise people. You go have rehearsal. I mean, it is really, really professional, first class. I couldn't imagine anything being any more first class than Monster Jam. And I'm not saying that because I work there, because you guys know I shoot straight.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable, man. And then you get to go out. You talk about wrestling fans being rabid and passionate. You go out in front of those Monster Jam fans. They've been waiting all year since last year to go back and see Monster Jam live again. We typically do 3 to 4 to 5 different shows on a weekend. And say the first weekend of the year, Monster Jam may not only be in Tupelo, Mississippi. They may be in Tupelo, but they're also in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're in Roanoke, Virginia. They're in Albany, New York. They're in Huntsville, Alabama. So we can be operating in like 8, 9, 10, 11 different cities any given weekend the first 3 or 4 months of the year. And,
so
there's Monster Jams.
So what you're saying is they're running the same night they're running in Tupelo, Mississippi, they're running in another city, different cities.
Oh, no, 7 or 8 or 9 other cities the same night. It's crazy.
Now,
that's
where you know that company is huge.
Oh, it's crazy. And listen, man, you get to go out on Friday night. You go out on Friday night, you work in front of 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15,000 people Friday night. You go back out Saturday. You have a big pit party. So they have all the trucks out. Thousands of fans come in and get up close and personal with the Monster Jam superstars, take pictures, you know, sign autographs. That shuts down. There's typically a 2 o'clock show. Thousands, tens of thousands of people come in for a 2 o'clock show. We take a break in the afternoon, come back and do it all over again Saturday. A lot of times we'll get up Sunday morning and do it again Sunday afternoon. It's crazy.
So who is the – I'm not in the loop anymore when it comes to Monster Jam. Who are the big trucks that are the big ones that people follow now?
Well, I mean, Gravedigger's still the man. There's like – I forget how many Gravedigger trucks there are competing right now, but – there's typically a Gravedigger truck on every tour. So say there's 10 tours going on. There's probably 8 Gravedigger trucks at those 10 tours. Gravedigger won the Fox Sports 1. They call it FS1 right now. The Gravedigger truck won the FS1 Championship Series this year. A Gravedigger truck won the AMSOIL Truck Series this year. A Gravedigger truck just won the Monster Jam Racing Championship in Las Vegas, Nevada last weekend. A Gravedigger truck won the Monster Jam World Freestyle Championship last year. The only thing, I actually just got off a conference call a couple hours ago with Monster Jam. The only thing a Gravedigger truck did not win this year was the Young Gun Shootout, because they didn't have an entry in the Young Gun Shootout. So Gravedigger, everybody
wow.
comes to see Gravedigger.
So do they have more
just,
than one
yeah,
driver
just,
for? Do they have more than one
oh, yeah,
driver
yeah.
for Gravedigger?
Yeah, yeah. There's a driver for, like, say there's 10 different trucks. There's 10 different drivers.
So Gravedigger can be running in 10 different towns, just like Monster Jam is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Gravedigger's a Monster Jam truck. Just like Carolina
wow.
Crusher from Gary Porter, you know, right down in Waynesboro. He was on our tour this year. John Zimmer
yeah.
drove for Gravedigger. He was a Gravedigger driver. He was on our tour this year. I should better yet say I was on their tour this year. But the Kill Devil Hill, you know, Kill Devil Hills out at the Outer Banks, that's where the Gravedigger crew works, man. That's where the headquarters is. The Digger's Dungeon's out there. They have a big museum. They build the trucks out there. We got to go down last November. Feld Entertainment brought in over 400 Monster Jam employees, and we had a summit, had a
wow.
two-day summit. And we got to tour the facility. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. It's huge. You know, like NASCAR has their shops and fabrication places.
Right.
Monster Jam's the same thing. They have tunnel testing. They have, you know, the BKT tires. They have – it's unbelievable, man. It's huge. Monster Jam goes to Australia, Singapore, Mexico, the Philippines, New Zealand. It's going to Japan this year, this summer. So it's
wow.
bigger and bigger and bigger. It's getting crazy, man. But it's
yeah,
a lot of
know,
fun.
I always liked the Gravedigger, because before Gravedigger, the big shot was Bigfoot. The big
yeah.
blue Ford, and for years he was a. But then, thank you. Along came the panel truck, and it always looked freakish to me because the tires were bigger than the panel truck was. So to me,
well,
that was just real
design.
Freaky.
Yeah, there's new designs every year. I mean, they just came out with another design, and I'm sure next year they'll do the same thing. It's kind of like NASCAR, a marketing thing. You have a lot of collectors and. You know, Hot Wheels, Team Hot Wheels is a big sponsor of Monster Jam. So, you know, they have the Hot Wheels diecast at Walmart, Target,
right.
Toys R Us, you know, all that stuff. So they're always looking for more merchandise. The fans love it, so they have to keep the fans happy.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Listen,
it should be
illegal for a redneck like me to go have that much fun in front of 15,000 people. That's too much power for me, man.
Hey, I want to do a fill-in one night. If you ever get, like, the flu and they need someone to run in a spot, I'll go out there for free and introduce one of the Monster Jams.
Let me tell you how good it was this year, speaking of that.
I know it's got to be a blast. It's got to be a rush.
They gave us two men teams, or two women, or two-person teams, or however you want to say it. So
mm-hmm.
I got to work with a guy, man. He was great. Jody Donnelly, he's a former BMX guy. He used to jump bikes all over the world. He's a really good guy, first-class guy. He
mm-hmm.
took me under his wing and trained me, and we had a blast. I mean, we sold more merchandise than any other tour in the company. We cut up. And I really, really believe 90% of it came from what I learned in the wrestling business. And
right.
we just made people happy, man. It's just like we do in the wrestling business. You know, we entertain, we make people happy, we make them a part of the product. They want to come back, and that's what it's all about, man. Life sucks, reality's hard, and anytime we can give somebody a two-hour break, it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's something different, I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you, I imagine that I've not been to a lot of Monster Jams or any of the truck shows. But I'm going to tell you, unlike wrestling, after about an hour and 15 minutes where the families are ready to go home, I bet you they're not ready to go home that quick at the Monster Jam.
No, because it's, I mean, not that there's a time limit on it, but there's a time limit on it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
exactly.
It's formatted. I mean, it's just like the wrestling business. You know, you go out and you try something new. If it don't work, you got to try something else. If it does work,
right.
then you stick with it till it don't work. Then you switch it up. That's what they're doing at Monster Jam. I mean, there's a lot of people a whole lot smarter than me in charge who make these formats work. And, you know,
right.
say you come out, you start the show with a wheelie competition. Then you'll come out and have some ATV, part of the ATV racing competitions. Then you'll do something else. Then you'll do something else. Then you go to intermission. Then you come back and do something else and something that works. And when it stops working, they'll switch it up and come up with something better.
Right.
It's like the wrestling business. You know, you have to entertain and make people happy. And you want to give them as much stuff as you can, as quick as you can, but don't give them everything. And leave them wanting more so they'll come back the next time. That's why there's sequels and trilogies and stuff like that in the movies. Same deal. It's all part of entertainment.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's all entertainement. It's all a big sideshow freak fest at the end of the day. Talking
yeah.
about trucks with big tires that are crunching over other things. I mean, that's like a kid's greatest dream to go out there and crunch over something in a monster truck. I tell you,
I think there's a line as long as from here to Houston, Texas, wanting to drive Monster Jam trucks. I've even threw my name in the hat.
Hey, ain't mad at you. I would have too. I would have too. I
told him I want to do it one time. I just want to drive it one time. I'll tear the truck up. Intentionally, but I'd have fun doing it.
Hell yeah.
We wouldn't be in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, that's for sure.
So what's next? You've done Monster Truck. Who are you going to announce for next? NASCAR? What do you got your eye on?
Well, Thursday, I'm flying to Dallas, Texas to announce Queens of Combat and WrestleCon, the big WrestleCon Super Show. Mysterio's on the card, Matt Hardy.
Nice.
A lot of guys, man. A lot of the Lucha Underground guys are on the card. I get to work with Melissa Santos, Justin Roberts, Mean Gene Okerlund, and somebody else is going to be there. I mean, it's crazy. Who would have ever thought it 4 years ago when I started? Who would have ever thought it? But I've got something else I'm working on. Not that I've topped out in the wrestling business by any means, but I just don't do a lot of wrestling shows anymore.
Right.
I'm doing some public address announcing for UNCC tomorrow, Charlotte 49ers.
Nice.
Doing that tomorrow afternoon before I get on the plane Thursday. And Nugs and Country, I think I want to try my hand at acting. I think that's what's next for Corky Franks.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah.
You could definitely get a job being the next Mr. Clean or something. Get you an earring.
Well,
you're already ready, man.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with you. I think you would be great at acting.
Mr.
I think
Clean
would be phenomenal.
At.
Just, hey, that's all right. Mr. Clean got a lot of money.
Hey, whenever I went down a year and a half ago to Atlanta, I was like, how can you make it into movies? My goal is to co-star with The Rock. That's my next goal. And everybody
right.
that I tell it to knows that I'll do it. So I just need to tell The Rock so he'll know it. But I was like, how do I get in the acting business? And I was like, it can't be any different than the wrestling business. It can't be any different than the heating and air conditioning business. So I sent three emails in about some extra spots. And within 6 hours, I had two responses wanting to give me some opportunities. So I went down to Atlanta. This was a year and a half ago. And I was supposed to be an extra on a show. And they treated these extras like crap, man. I mean, it was like, I mean, they were just there to be in the background, just like lighting or just like a tree or just like a building. Nobody cared. And when they brought the catered food in for lunch, everybody was like, they treated them like, you know, the lower deck on the Titanic people. Or, I mean, it was ridiculous. So I went over and started talking to some associate producers and, you know, told them I was not there to be an extra. I was there to see what went on, so see if I wanted to pursue anything in the acting business. And we struck up a conversation, hit it off with a guy. About 2 hours later, he gave me a speaking role in a scene on an ABC show. The show's since been canceled, so I don't know. I'm pretty sure they didn't cancel it because of me, but it was the ABC Resurrection show. And I never did it again because I knew if it was that easy that one time, I know how I'm wired, and I figured if it was that easy one time, I could make it happen again. So that's my next thing, man. That's what I'm getting ready to start working on. I'm gonna give it a run, you know, just to see. You never know till you try.
You sure can't. You never do know until you try. You can't be afraid ever to step outside your comfort zone because
it's like
I remember
when you were
one
in high
time.
School. It's like when you were in high school, and if you want to go on a date with a girl, you know whether she's pretty or not, if you're attracted to her, and you want to go on, if you never ask her, the answer is always no. It's always no. You know, if you call and her mom says she's in the shower, that's not really no. That's maybe. I'm on the other line. Can I call you back? That's a maybe. Until they tell you no, it's always a yes.
That's true.
I'm gonna give it a shot. The good thing is I don't have to do. The good thing is I don't have to do it for a living. I get to do it for a living, and then you know, I told Michael today if I had to work in the wrestling business, there's no way I'd work in the wrestling business.
Right.
You know, if I had to work in the acting business to pay my power bill and feed my family, there's no way I would do it. But if I get to go do it and it's fun and I can work that business before it works me and I can get out on the plus side, so far so good. But it's been a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's been an adventure for you and you're not even done with it yet. I mean, you're still out there doing it. I mean, you inspire me to want to do more than what I'm doing now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone to try to get this company up off the ground. And I spent a lot of money and a lot of time getting to where I'm at now. But, I mean, my biggest thing is my Achilles heel is my lack of patience. I want it right now. Now, you know. And sometimes you got to wait. You know, you got to plant your seeds and wait for them to develop over time. And that's hard at times.
Man, I tell my kids this a lot. You know, to me, I mean, just like right now, in this little season I'm in now, it's like life has given me, say, 10 puzzles, right? And the first puzzle is a 50-piece jumbo size puzzle. And you work the puzzle, and it's pretty easy, but you might be missing 3 pieces. And if you waste all your time looking for those 3 pieces, you'll never find them. So just go work the next puzzle, and then go work the next puzzle. And you're always going to be missing pieces of the puzzle. But by the time you get down to about puzzle number 4, you'll find one of those missing pieces that was in puzzle number 1. You'll be like, oh, that goes there. And that's the way it is for me, man. Just while I'm working one puzzle, I'll find a puzzle piece that went somewhere else that I'll remember, and it puts it all together, and it starts making sense. Because I found out if I try to force something, it never works. It always messes up, and it always backfires, and it just never works. So it's been working for me. That's one of my philosophies.
That's a great philosophy to have, Gorky. I'm going to tell you that's a great philosophy to have. Do you hear Big Country?
Yeah, I'm here.
Country, folks.
Big Country.
You got anything? Got something to talk to Gorky about? Any questions or anything you want to put in here? Yeah, I'm not trying
to. Well, man, I mean, even though I don't get to talk to Gorky a lot, I follow, you know, what he's doing, you know, with from what I hear from people, what I can read, you know, just because I don't get to see him, you know, as much as I used to when, you know, the old XWW days, you know, I'm proud as hell for him, you know. He's also done announcing for MMA and all types of mixed martial arts. I'd put him over Bruce Buffer any day, but, you know, Corky, I knew from the beginning, just like, you know, with Tommy, that you guys had something, and then you had the work ethic to achieve whatever you wanted to do. You know, if you wanted to do this, I knew you'd be able to achieve it because your hard work, you know, and the fact that you had just, you know, natural ability and talent. So, you know, I just want to say for everything that you've achieved, you deserve it, and you deserve a lot more, and I can't wait to see where you're going to next.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We've had a lot of fun, and I'm sure there's a lot more fun left to go. Speaking of fun, before I jump off here, let me tell one funny story about Joey Nugs.
Please,
you ready, Nugs?
Go for it, brother. You you know I relish in these moments. He sent me before you tell your story. He sends me a message. He says, "Nux, don't have me shooting on nobody and force me to talk about nobody." and I've been behaving myself, have I not? Because I mean,
yeah,
I'll shoot on someone.
On
I don't give a damn. I haven't put you on the spot yet.
And I haven't had to shoot on anybody. Let me tell you this funny story.
No.
Okay, so we get Nugs a spot in PWX, right? So PWX is doing what Fight Lab. You're just talking about MMA. We talk about wrestling and stuff. I forget I even do MMA. We just did a show this past Saturday night. I did a boxing show, so that stuff's a lot of fun. But anyway,
right.
In the MMA business, like a company like Fight Lab and other companies, the fighters sell tickets, and they get a percentage of the tickets. And that's how they have 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people, whatever, show up at the show. So a guy gets $250 to fight. And then he gets 10% of whatever he sells. Well, he's got a good payday. So
that's
what PWX is doing. They were having guys sell tickets. So one of the stipulations for Joey was he had 10 tickets. So Nugs would drive up, meet with Tyshawn, get his 10 tickets, right? And everybody would always have a hard time selling tickets. They would always turn in two or three extra tickets. But Nugs would always sell his tickets. He'd always sell his tickets. And I was like three shows in, I was like, how is Nugs selling these tickets? And Cedric Alexander's not even selling all his tickets. Caleb Conley's not even selling all his tickets. Well, one day I walked outside early before the show just to say hey to the fans and stuff. Welcome, thanks for coming, support, yada, yada, all that good stuff. And I found out how Joey Nugs sold all of his tickets. Joey Nugs would get his tickets. He would go outside in the line and sell his tickets to the fans in line and tell them they could get in early. Nugs was working the system, selling his tickets to the fans in line before they got in the show. Classic.
Yeah, of course. Hey, I got tickets right here. Who wants to get tickets right now? If I stand in line, you just want to walk right up to the front. You give him your ticket. You want to stand in line. Boop, boop, you're in. Well, okay. How much are they? Well, I'd sell them the base ticket value. I mean.
Yeah. Nugs returning his money.
I can't quote this, but I heard Cedric Alexander's, he had his mama doing it. But don't quote me on that because in case it's not true, I don't want Cedric Alexander mad at me. But I think somebody else caught wind of what I was doing and went out there.
You
saw,
hey,
thing.
Listen. I saw you sell Cedric's mama a ticket.
That's what Cedric's mama was the part of the story. Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, you sold Cedric's mama, his sister, aunt, the whole family. You sold tickets to the whole family. Maybe
Thank
that's
you,
how
Alexander
they started doing
family.
It.
Hey, if I'm going to get a payday, I'm going to get a good one. Welcome to the world of pro wrestling. The old days. We need to have some more days. I know you're busy doing your thing, but man, if you ever get a chance to come in and do a ring announcement on for one of my shows, I would be honored, man. I really would.
Man, I already told you I would, and I told you I'd help you out with
I know you're
PA stuff, and so anything I can do to help you. Listen, you guys help me out, and the least I can do is turn around and help you out.
Well, I got a good PA system. Unless it goes out on me, I'm good with that. But, I mean, it's good to know I got a backup and someone I can call on. I mean, I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of friends in this world, but the ones I got, they're really good, and I can count them on one hand.
Really easy. I think that goes for it. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing.
I keep my
Man,
I keep
I appreciate
my circle
you guys
small.
Having. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun to talk to you. Country, hopefully I'll see you at the Strawberry Festival, maybe, coming up in a couple months.
Oh, I'm booked on there. That's about the only reason why I'm getting a South Carolina wrestling license. Chad asked me, he said, I want you for both shows. So I was like, all right, I'll do it.
Well, he's
That's
got me down,
show,
so I'm going to come down and help out. Yeah, my family comes down and hangs out. It's just a lot of fun. We help raise money for the American Cancer Society, and so it's a good cause and raise a lot of money, so... I know I'll see you.
If I'm not booked, I will come out and watch a wrestling event. Sometimes I like to mark and stand in the crowd and wave to people.
Well, come on by, man. Maybe I should send Chad a text and tell him to book you on the show.
That'd be cool, too. I always can use good booking. But either way, I mean, I would support it. It's a good cause. I would definitely support it. I love supporting pro wrestling. I'm not a hater. You'll never hear me ever say that. To me, I like to benefit and further men of anything that I'm in. You don't ever hear me hate on nobody. I want to see people around me prosper. It's always the way I've always been. But
all right, I'm gonna throw this out here. I'm gonna throw it out here before I get off here. NXT is coming to Cabarrus Arena in a couple of weeks. Just saying. Maybe they need an announcer.
Sweet.
Be nice, wouldn't it? At least the photo op. At least the photo.
I think so too. I think it'd be fabulous.
I think I could at least get a photo op out of the deal.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Let's get on a resume.
Say it's always a pleasure, Quirky Franks, man, for you to take your time to come on and talk. And it's an honor. You're a good friend of mine, but you're somebody when people say, hey, who's a good announcer? I've always said Quirky Franks. And it's not just because you were my friend. It's because I knew if I said Quirky Franks, you were going to go out there and go beyond the call of duty and do the deal. You always have been that way. So, ultimate
and
professional
it,
in business. And that's the truth. And you know,
you
I'm a shooter,
always,
too.
Yeah.
I'm a shooter, too.
I appreciate you guys looking out
here. I don't. Yeah. Always will, brother, man. We appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you guys. I love you, man. Keep killing with the show.
Thank you.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you, Clark. Talk to you later, brother.
Okay, buddy.
Phenomenal. I thought that was really good. What do you think about that one, Big Country? Quirky Franks.
Man, it's always a pleasure talking to Quirky.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, he is an inspiration to talk to. He really is. I mean, you hear himself. If you want something, you got to go out and get it. Can't think small, think big. All you could say was, hey, I could try. If it don't work out, hey.
Well,
wow.
You know, anybody that knows me knows, you know, I don't quote rap very often, but when, you know, when Drake said, starter from the bottom, now we're here, I think he might have been talking about Quirky.
Yeah, Quirky's the man. Definitely is. Well, I'll tell you, we'll wind it down. We got next week's show coming up. Well, I got on April the 5th, we got Man Scout Jake Manning. He's going to be coming in. I mean, not only is he talking pro wrestling, Jake Manning is doing stand-up comedy, and he's going to take time before he goes on stage next Tuesday night. He's going to talk to us, and maybe we can get him to tell a joke or two. But I'll tell you, I think it's phenomenal. He's doing great things, not only pro wrestling. He does great things over there at High Spots with video, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Jake. He said he would come on. April 12th, we got Fireball coming on. I know your buddy Fireball and my friend as well. April 19th, we got Tim Dixon coming on. And the list goes on and on, you know. And we got people booked up all the way through next month. So the show's going to continue. And hopefully it's going to be a snowball effect. I mean, we got some shout-outs while we're online. Shout-outs to Timber, Zach Salvation, and all our loyal listeners who listen live or listen on playback here on Blog Talk. Or they download free on iTunes or their MP3 players or other media devices. You know, I mean, definitely keep downloading it. If you don't hear it, download it. That's phenomenal. So, I mean, the show's only getting better. So, people out there, keep listening. Tell a friend. Tell somebody. We'll be here next Tuesday night, 8 p.m. like always. Call in numbers 516-387-1469. Big Country, say goodnight, brother. I'm about ready to hit that beautiful bean footage and roll this music.
Peace.